Jane's going to come to the front and read to us our scripture reading now. Mark 8, verses 27 to 38. That's page 1012 in the church Bibles. Mark 8, 27 to 38, page 1012 or on the projector.
Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Well, the title of my message this morning is Living for Jesus in 2018, and my text is Mark 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Well, as I said earlier on, Happy New Year to you all, although it does seem to have been going on for at least 6 days. That's because it has so far, but Happy New Year nonetheless. Not seen many of you so far this new year. Today is the first Sunday in January. And the New Year celebrations, the New Year period, gives us a good opportunity to look back to the year just gone and to look forward to the year ahead. If you like, from a Christian perspective, New Year gives us that chance to look backwards. We can and ought to thank God for all that he has done for us in 2017. It gives us the chance to look backwards in the sense that it gives us an opportunity to ask God to forgive us again for those ways that we know that we have failed him over the last 12 months or so. But this morning and this time of year also gives us the chance to look forward to the year ahead. New Year is a good time of the year, a good opportunity to recommit ourselves to Jesus as his people. So I want us this morning to look ahead, and I want us to ask that question: how should we live for Jesus in 2018. Well, I hope most of us, if not all of us, know this morning that as Christians, we are saved, theologians would say, by grace alone. In other words, we can't earn God's forgiveness. We can't earn God's mercy towards us for the wrong things that we do. We simply accept God's forgiveness as a gift from him. In other words, if you like, we become Christians simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting in all that he is as God's Son and our Savior, and all that he did for us when he died on the cross. But being a Christian does mean that we have responsibilities to fulfill in the coming year and for the rest of our lives indeed. We have the responsibility as those who are saved by God's grace to obey Jesus, to serve Jesus, to glorify Jesus, and to love Jesus as well. So we have the responsibility as Christians this year to obey Jesus' good commands. He gives us commands in the Bible to glorify him, and not just to make our lives perhaps miserable or boring, if you like, because he knows that's what is best for us, to obey his commands. So this morning we're going to look at three very basic commands that Jesus gives to his people in Mark 8:24. And as I said, Jesus says there, whoever wants to be my disciple or whoever wants to follow after me must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to be my disciple, Jesus is saying, if you are a Christian this morning, you must live this way, says Jesus. If we want to be a Christian, if we are a Christian, we must obey these commands. If we're a Christian, we must live a life that looks, Jesus says, something like this. Well, in Mark chapter 8, the passage that Jane just read to us, Jesus has been revealed to be God's Messiah, God's special king. You didn't ask me, John, what the answer was. I'd have been right in there. God's special king, God's Messiah. So in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is revealed to be the Messiah. Peter has been shown by God the Father, it's been revealed to him that Jesus is God's special king. But Jesus goes on to tell the disciples in that passage that he is a strange sort of a king. He's a king who is going to suffer. He's a king who is going to be killed. He is a king who is going to rise again after 3 days. Jesus says he's going to follow a path of self-denial. We'll think about what that means in a minute. And a path of suffering to serve other people and to serve to glorify his Father in heaven. So Jesus explains that he's this strange kind of a king, and then he gives these commands, this challenge to his disciples in Mark 8:34. He says to his disciples, he says, I believe, to all Christians, that his people must also live lives of self-denial and suffering. To put it another way, as Christians, we must follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, his people, his disciples, must expect similar experiences. We must seek to live like the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives us three commands there, and we're going to look at them one by one, although they do really form a whole unit, one unit. And let me remind you, these aren't tips, these aren't handy hints or suggestions for the year ahead, as sometimes we can take God's commands to us. No, these are commands. They're instructions. They are, what do we call them at primary school? Bossy verbs. These are things that we have to do in our lives as Christians. So we must deny ourselves, we must take up our crosses, and we must follow Jesus. We're going to look at those three things, although there's a large degree of overlap between them all. But we're going to take them one by one. So first of all then, Jesus says that to be a Christian, as a Christian, we must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. Well, what does that mean? Well, as fallen people, as sinful people, we can so often be, we are by nature, if you like, as well, selfish, self-obsessed, and self-centered. We can be selfish, self-obsessed, self-centered. We can put me, we can put I at the center of our world, of our thoughts, our loves, and our living. As sinful people, so often we could be obsessed with our needs and our wants, with our plans and with our pleasures. We live for ourselves, we don't live for others, and we so often don't live for God himself. Now, I think last time we had a family service, I had a bit of Latin for you kids. I'm not going to test you because you've probably forgotten it, but I've got a little bit more of Latin for you now as well. Come and grab the spelling later on. I've not got it on the overhead. But I mentioned last time Martin Luther. You remember Martin Luther was a great church reformer 500 years ago. Well, he talked about this, our selfishness, and he talked about our incurvatus in se. Put that in English. How, as sinners, we are curved in on ourselves. We're curved in on ourselves. So in other words, we live lives inwardly for ourselves, not outwardly towards God and others. So our natural inclination, if you like, is to put me first, to put I first, to put ourselves first. Martin Luther said that was the essence of sin. We were curved in on ourselves. And we know it, don't we? We know how prone we are to be self-centered, to put our wants and desires, our needs before anything else, before others and before God. But, Jesus says in this passage, as Christians, we're called to live for others, and most of all, to live for God, not for ourselves. We must surrender ourselves entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, for example, this might mean, and does mean, putting God and others at the center of our lives, rather than ourselves. It means prioritizing God's glory and the extension of his kingdom, rather than putting our own desires, our own comforts, our own needs, and our own requirements first. I think there's an aspect of this to it as well. It means that when we are tempted to sin, when we are tempted to disobey the clear commandments of our God and of his Son, we fight it, we strive against it to do what is right. Well, Jesus repeats some of this teaching in Luke 9 and in verse 23 there. He says that we're not only to deny ourselves, we're to deny ourselves daily. So this is a continual fight. Our Christian lives are not to be easy. They aren't easy. It's not to be a walk in the park. But we to deny ourselves daily, each and every day. We are in a fight, a battle of faith and for faith, the Bible says. To live as Jesus wants us to live requires commitment and determination. And when we deny ourselves, this should affect all of our decisions, whether they're the big life-changing decisions, seemingly at least, or those little decisions that we make day by day. Day-to-day decisions and life-changing decisions need to fall under this idea of denying ourselves. Well, who can we look to if we want to see how we are to deny ourselves and to put others and to put God first in our lives? Well, there's only one person who's ever illustrated this for us perfectly. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When he left the glory of heaven, the wonders of heaven, to become a man and to die on the cross, he was illustrating for us perfectly how we are to deny ourselves. Let me read to you Philippians 2, verses 2 to 8, very well-known part of the Bible, and I'm going to read it to you in the Message paraphrase version. Paul says there, "Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. No, not at all. When the time came, Jesus set aside the privileges of deity and he took on the status of a slave, becoming human. And having become a human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion." So Jesus is our great example of how we are to deny ourselves for the sake of others and for God. So how might denying ourselves affect our day-to-day living? Let me give some of these examples. There's some little made-up examples of people who might want to live in a certain way to put these commands into practice. In 2018, for example, Alex resolves to increase his giving to missionary causes, despite it threatening his chances of buying a new widescreen TV this year. Bob resolves to help his wife with the children at bedtime this year, despite it reducing his time alone in the man shed. 9-year-old Catherine vows to give 20% of her pocket money each month to a Christian charity that helps homeless children. Donald resolves to meet up regularly with Daniel, even on Champions League evenings, so that they can pray for and with each other about some of their besetting sins. Ellen resolves to resign from her high-paid job as a partner in a law firm to go to Brazil to work with street children there. Florence vows to end her weekly girly get-togethers with Margaret and Polly, as she knows that they inevitably lead to gossip. Gary resolves to give up alcohol, as he knows that under its influence, he engages in God-dishonoring thought, talk, and behavior. Henrietta vows to obey her parents respectfully, even when she knows better. So in 2018, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. On your sheets, kids, that you've got in front of you, you've got that point that you would have noticed already. But think of one concrete way, maybe something I've mentioned, something else that comes to mind, that you can go about doing this in your life this year. How are you going to deny yourself as Jesus commands you? And of course, those of us who are older as well, we may not have a sheet in front of us, but this morning let's commit to a very concrete, particular way that we can deny ourselves for the sake of Christ. So Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. And then secondly, Jesus says that we must take up our crosses. We must take up our crosses. Well, what does that mean? Well, obviously, it doesn't mean that we have to die on a cross for the sins of the world, we'll be relieved to know. So when Jesus says we are to take up our crosses, it doesn't mean that we have to die on a cross at all, or that we have to die on a cross to pay the price for the sins of the world. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus, as God and man at the same time, could die for his people. And of course, that's what Jesus did. He died on the cross for his people. He received our punishment for our sin so that we wouldn't have to. So what does that mean then? What does it mean to say that we must take up our crosses? Well, in Jesus' day, the cross was a symbol of suffering and a symbol of shame. The worst criminals in Jesus' day were punished by being put to death on a cross. And the crosses were carried by convicted criminals before they were crucified, before they were put on the cross. You remember Jesus did so in the Good Friday account. And Jesus is saying this, in effect. If you really are a Christian, you must be willing to go through hard times, maybe shameful times, for me. So, in all likelihood, thankfully, we're not going to be crucified, but we may well suffer. We may well be persecuted. We may well be bullied, for example, for being a Christian, and we are not to be ashamed of it. Well, thankfully, for most of us today in Britain, we don't have to face strong persecution for being a Christian. But in parts of the world, children face difficult lives for being Christians. We've got a very short video now for you, particularly kids, which is a video from Open Doors, and it shows to us how some children have a hard time in life for following the Lord Jesus. So let's just watch this for a couple of minutes.
Have you ever been bullied? Even if you haven't, you can probably imagine what it's like. People who are bullied may be teased, hurt, ignored, threatened, or called names. There are lots of reasons why people are bullied. It can be because of what you look like or sound like, where you're from, or the things you do. One of the reasons people are bullied is because of what they believe about God and the way they live their lives as a result. It might not happen anywhere near you, but around the world, Millions of people are bullied for this reason, because the way they do things is different to those around them. Another word for this is persecution. Open Doors is an organisation that supports Christians who are persecuted. It finds out what help they need and then it goes to work. It could be by praying for them, taking them to hospital, providing them with tents or food, or taking letters and cards to cheer them up. As well as offering help, Open Doors tracks the bullying that happens to Christians around the world and the reasons why it happens. It might be because your family is against you following Jesus, or because your neighbours will tell on you, or the leaders in your community might make it difficult for you to get water or go to school. Or it might be the government spying on you, deliberately attacking you, or putting you in prison. It could be violence coming from terrorists, or it might be the kind of pressure that others just can't see. Either way, when you're persecuted, you're not free to learn, play, work, read, write, or say what you think. This doesn't happen everywhere, of course. Just watching this film now very likely means you are in a safe place. But some people aren't, and some Christians aren't. So it's good to remember them and find ways to help them where we can. The Bible says we are many people, but in Christ we are all one body. We are the parts of the body, and each part belongs to all the others. How can you help children and families who are being persecuted?
So these are some of the things that children experience in some parts of the world today for being Christians. Jesus calls on them, as he does on us, to take up their crosses. Boys and girls, I don't know what difficulties you have at school for being a Christian, for following Jesus. And thankfully for most of us, it isn't too hard living in the UK today. But to be frank, becoming a Christian may become more difficult in our country in years ahead. Moms and dads, grandparents, it's part of our role, I believe, to make sure that our children are ready for some of the difficult times that they may face in years to come. But Jesus calls all of us to be willing to suffer for him when he leads us into that suffering. So again, a couple of examples. Archie knows that his new classmates might well tease or bully him when he tells them that he loves Jesus. But he asks Jesus to give him the courage to tell them nonetheless. Barbara knows that speaking publicly about her faith at work may limit her chances of promotion, but she does so anyway. Charlie knows that if he argues for a 6-day creation in his science class, he may well be ridiculed, but he does so anyway. Debbie knows that her gap year serving the church in Ivory Coast may potentially be dangerous, but wants to volunteer there anyway. Ewan decides to pray for persecuted Christians every day during family devotions. Daniel and Amy know that if they refuse to bake a cake promoting an unbiblical view of marriage, they may end up being taken to court, potentially costing them time and money. But they refuse to bake it anyway. And of course, that last one is not a made-up one. In 2018, Jesus calls us to take up our crosses for him. And then finally, he calls us to follow him. So number three, we must follow Jesus in 2018. Jesus' third command here is to follow me. Well, to follow someone means to imitate someone, to copy someone, to have somebody as a role model. And boys and girls, I hope that you have role models, people that you aim to be like in your Christian life. And of course, most importantly, we are to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our ultimate role model. Many of us perhaps have a favorite footballer or singer or a superhero, or in the case of some of us, a favorite preacher. And we may try to play or to sing or to to save the world or to preach like they do. We imitate them. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. Have me as a role model. And in this particular context, I think Jesus means, follow me in this. Live a life of love and self-sacrificial service for God's glory and for the benefit of others. We're to do it just as Jesus did. We're to live lives of love and self-sacrificial service for God's glory and for others. We saw in Philippians 2 how Jesus gave up his privileges, his comforts, even his life to serve others. And we can't die on a cross for the sins of the world, as I said, but we can live like this. We can serve others. We can live to serve others, even when doing so will cost us time or energy or money or emotional energy, whatever it might be. We can love others, even when that love is undeserved, when it's not reciprocated, when it's not reflected back to us. We can love others even when that love is sometimes unwelcomed. We can tell the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, even when doing so brings us mockery or persecution, being made fun of, whatever it is, we can tell others the good news of Jesus. If our service for Jesus is not costly, then it is not Christ-like. So are you planning on following the Lord Jesus Christ in 2018? Adrian is a busy professional, but he feels that he must give up a precious free evening each week to help at the Good News Children's Club. Belinda knows that becoming more like Jesus in 2018 will require spending more time studying the Bible, so she resolves to regularly attend a house group. Chris knows that following Jesus means spending more time with Jimmy at break at school. Jimmy is certainly not cool, and he always wants to play his own choice of games. But Chris knows that Jimmy is often left alone by the other children on the playground and has a difficult time at home. Dawn has felt the call to the mission field as a nurse for months now, but fears leaving behind her children and grandchildren. But she knows that 2018 is the year when she must obey God's call. Ernie knows that his Christian life has not been what it should be for years now, but he resolves that 2018 will be the year when he gets serious about his relationship with Jesus once again. Frankie knows that 2018 is the year when he must be obedient to Jesus' command to follow him in being baptized. So this year we are called to follow Jesus. Three very quick concluding thoughts then to round up this morning. Maybe after hearing this you're thinking, I can't do this. I'm too selfish. I'm too self-centered to live the way that the Lord Jesus Christ would have me to live. I can't give up putting me at the center of everything. Well, I'm glad that you feel that way this morning. I feel that way this morning because we can't, in our own strength, obey these commands from the Lord Jesus Christ. But the glory of the good news of the gospel is this. If we are a Christian, our God gives us his Holy Spirit to live inside us and to give us the power to live in this way. When we're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside us and he gives us power. He changes us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to try our hardest to live in this way, and we're to do so depending on God to give us the power to do so. And so this morning, pray to our God. Say, Lord, day by day, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, that he will lead me into a life of self-denial, of cross-bearing, and following after Jesus. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ to obey his commands. Secondly, maybe this morning after hearing this, you've thought, my life in 2017 was so far from obeying these verses. I've lived for self. I've not lived for Christ. I've lived my way. I've not lived his. And of course, this morning, if you feel that that is true of you, good. Because to some extent, it's true of all of us. During last year, we have lived for self and not for Christ and not for his people. But again, the glory of the good news is this. If we seek God's forgiveness, he will forgive us. He will give us a clean slate as we enter this new year. It's sometimes been said that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Take a new beginning right here and now. Put yourself right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you your sins afresh this morning. And then thirdly, finally, maybe after hearing all this, you thought, well, what's the attraction in all this? What's the point? After all, the life I'm living for self, it sounds so much more pleasurable than the life that you're outlining that the Lord Jesus Christ would have live for him. It sounds a lot less hassle living my way, a lot more enjoyable living my way than Jesus' way. Well, I could take all morning to answer that question. I'm not going to. But listen to these words of Jesus in Mark 8:35 to 36. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So Jesus is saying this: those who live for self in this life will be lost in the life to come. But those who give their lives here and now to the service of Christ will enjoy the life to come with him forevermore. And so if we live this way, giving evidence to the fact that we are truly God's people, we'll enjoy eternal life with our wonderful, with our awesome, with our glorious King, Lord, friend, and brother, Jesus Christ. And so as we enter 2018, let's strive in God's power. Let's strive to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. Let's pray together. Father God, as Mark so helpfully prayed earlier on, we know that over the last 12 months we have been far from the people that you have called us to be. That will be true for each and every one of us. That will be true for us as a church. Father, we ask this morning that you would forgive us, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, would you give us a clean slate this morning? Father, I would pray that for those that have yet to do that at all in their lives, even for the first time. And I pray that if there is anyone here this morning who is not a Christian, that you would help them to understand and to believe and to seek your forgiveness. But for the majority of us, Father, who are your people, we pray that you would clean us afresh, forgive us afresh. Father, we ask that we might enter this year with a renewed sense of commitment to your glory, to seek the extension of your kingdom and the building up of the church. Father, would you give us all the energy by the Holy Spirit that we need to live lives that glorify you? Father, help us not to be so self-centered. Help us to put you and your glory in others first before our own needs, wants, and desires. And again, I repeat Mark's prayer that our greatest desire this year would be to seek after you, to search after you, to know you better, to glorify you. Father, help us in all these things, we pray, again, as individual Christians, as a church. Father, we thank you that you are such a good and a gracious God. Father, we thank you that our position with you, our relationship with you, doesn't depend upon anything in ourselves. And yet, Father, we recognize this morning that if we are truly yours, there'll be evidence of that in our lives. So, Father, bless us abundantly in this year, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.